Tom, we need more HP toner.
I'll get right on it, Maria. Now, I could go to the big box office supply company where I'm just a number, but I love dealing with Ferritech, the company that supplies our HP toner, printers, and service. They know how to treat their customers. They're an authorized HP vendor. They locally manufacture their own toner cartridges, and it's recycled.
Tom!
Uh-oh, what now?
Ferritech, a customer-obsessed HP retailer. Visit Ferritech.com.
Broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios in Atlanta, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio, spotlighting business leaders in our area. Gwinnett Business Radio is brought to you by Ferritech. Ferritech, great people, remarkable service.
I'm back, and welcome to another edition of Gwinnett Business Radio here on Business Radio X. I'm Mike Salmond. That's it. You're Stephen Julian.
Yes, good to meet you, Mike.
Yes, it's good to be back.
Give me a second. I'm wiping away the tears because I'm so excited.
It's been a while. For those that have enjoyed our show, of course, in the past, this is Gwinnett Business Radio, but I was gone for over a month. And so it took a little hiatus, except for the 1 week when you and John Ray decided to hijack the show and have a show without me being around.
Absolutely.
No hard feelings.
For those who have missed you, we're glad that you're back and we're glad that they're listening. For those that were excited when you were gone, we just want you to stick around and give us a chance.
Just
right?
give us a second chance.
Absolutely. Because we've got some great guests and that's who they need to listen to.
Yes, we have three companies, three businesses, three organizations. That's actually nine if you add them up, but really only three today that we're going to highlight. From Proto Technology, Marissa Maldonado is here. She's the managing partner. We have Sean Boyce. He's the director of Ankle Biters. And you're wondering what Ankle Biters may be. You'll find out in just a few minutes. And Michael Gifford is here. He's from New Heights Marketing. He's the president of the company, so we'll talk to him as well. But we're going to start the show here from our Subaru of Gwinnett Studios. It's Marissa Maldonado with Proto Technology. Good morning, Marissa.
Good morning.
All right. Proto Technology, you're in the IT field. Tell us about what your company does.
So we do manage IT services and cybersecurity, primarily in the metro Atlanta area, and then we have offshoots in the Northeast. And so we go into different businesses and we basically manage these networks from your internet all the way to your desktop and then also making sure you're not getting hacked.
That's a good thing.
Right.
Managing partner. Did you start this company?
I came in after it had been around for about 10, 12 years. And it actually was founded by my older brother, who is the networking architect guru. And I came in and put everyone in line and started organizing them and said, hey, let's actually make a business out of this.
Great. So tell us about your background and how you got to where you are today.
So I am a UGA business alum. Go Dogs.
Take that, Steven. wait. No comeback? Nothing?
No.
Okay.
Because, you know, a UGA business alum, solid person. Sure, she does good work.
Compared to a UGA journalism alum?
Yes.
Okay.
We don't have any Georgia Tech fans in here.
Well, I'm a Georgia Tech grad.
Oh, sorry about that.
That's why
I'm not.
That's why I had to get that zinger in there.
Well, in college, I used to go to Georgia Tech often in a big caravan of girls, and we had a lot of fun at Georgia Tech.
See?
So very great host.
That'd be the only time there were nice looking girls on the Georgia Tech campus.
Hey.
Okay.
My wife is not going to be happy with you in that comment.
We digress. I'm sorry.
Okay. Go back to how you get. Yeah. Go back to your story.
So I finished college and started doing networking IT business analysis for different companies and was going into the network world. And then one evening was sitting around talking to my brother after going out and he said, hey, I need help. I need to grow this business and I have my hands full. So I went in and started looking at the accounts receivable and being like, you know, you're not adding these up right. Let me help you with that. And then, you know, 5-6 years down the road, here we are. And it's a lot of fun. It's definitely quite a fun path that I've chosen to be a business owner instead of, you know, kind of going the corporate route. My parents specifically were like, oh, what are you doing? You just finished your business school at UGA. Come on, you can go and work in a corner office in Midtown. And I was like, you know, I want to do this. And now, you know, after five, six years now, it's kind of a cool thing to have my parents kind of look back and be like, I'm really proud of you guys. you guys are doing some really awesome work. So it's a lot of fun.
That's awesome. Plus you guys get to say that you're a family run business. So that's always a nice thing.
Exactly.
So Marissa, I'd like you to imagine that you're sitting in a room full of, in front of a bunch of small business owners, because you are here on Business Radio X. And I want you to talk to those business owners, because I think there are a lot of small business owners that when the topic of IT comes up, they get very scared. They start to break out in a cold sweat and they say, I know nothing about it. And they put their whole and total trust in whoever's handling their IT, which unfortunately sometimes is nobody, right. Or, you know, their Uncle Bob who is helping them or something. Tell every small business owner kind of where they need to start to get more confident about their IT and about who's doing their IT. What are the questions they need to be asking potential IT companies that they're working with like yours?
Sure. I think the biggest gap that you see nowadays is the knowledge and the training your business to have a culture of IT compliancy. I know that sounds kind of like a mouthful, but the best way to describe IT, let's think of it as a house. I want to secure my home. I'm going to call these guys. They're going to come in. I'm going to put locks on my windows. So that's IT 101. That's me hiring my son's son or whoever to come do my IT, or as they say, a guy in a car. Then I'm saying, you know, let's do a little bit more. So I put locks on my doors. Okay, cool. And let's put a little bit more. I put cameras to face my doors and motion detectors and monitoring systems. So it calls me if there's motion outside. And then I want to get really crazy. I build a moat around my house. I put a couple of alligators in there. Go all in. But then what happens when the person crosses the bridge on the moat and we let them in and we let them cross the moat and they come to the door and they knock on the door. And then my accountant who's working in the house during the day opens the door and says, oh, hello, come right in. And now you have someone that's in there with malicious intent to do something with the data that they have. So the same analogy, you can spend thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. But at the end of the day, it's up to the individual users that are commanding this Starship Enterprise ship to not let these intrusions happen. So, you know, we come into these clients and you see a lot of IT companies really go in and say, we want to put in these $10,000 switches and these fancy firewalls and do all this stuff. But let's take a step back and let's see where you guys are right now. Let's see what type of industry are you in that requires different types of protocols, such as are you in healthcare, or even do you have any data that would be possibly considered patient health information? Are you in any type of financial industry? What are those standards and protocols that you have to be doing? So the tricky thing that you have nowadays is if you have a security breach, now you're legally liable to disclose that information to every single person that you have information on. And then at that point, you have to, depending on the different industry, you have to offer them free credit monitoring, et cetera, et cetera. There have been instances of businesses here in Atlanta, pretty big medical offices that are actually saying, we don't have the money to do the credit monitoring, to do the legal obligations that we have. Sorry. So it's starting to become a really, there's a shift in the industry nowadays. So number one is educating the people that you have on staff to protect the information that you have.
And I'm sure a lot of small business owners are probably naive, thinking nobody's going to try to hack into my stuff. I have nothing that anybody's going to want. But my understanding is it's really become an epidemic where, I mean, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of hacking attempts every single day.
Yeah, just to put it into perspective. So the general understanding is there's 8 new internet users every second. And so that's who are those internet users? Those are people that in a rural area, their neighborhood just got lit up with internet. Those are people in a country that just got access to internet. Those are little kids that just got a mobile device or just have, you know, just started first grade and now they have a computer. So within that number, we're having 300,000 new malware created every day in attempts to get into these computers and to get into these systems. 30,000 of those are infected websites. So that's small businesses where they have a website, which is your business card to the outside world. And if you go onto that website, bam, you get something on your computer. Your computer freezes up. You have now some sort of spyware or malware on your computer. And for the most part, those are 80% are actually small businesses, because the 20%, those big businesses, government, they have the Starship Enterprise systems. They have active intrusion penetration testing. They do all the things. So it's the small businesses that we're overlooking, that we are a target.
And when it comes to IT, I think at some point in the past, we were just talking about our computers. But now when you go in and start working with a business, you're talking about their phones. You're talking about, you know, their devices. You're talking about their database. You guys really want to cover all their technology.
Right. And it even includes the vendors that you work with. So that's another oversight that a lot of people are having. And that's where, for instance, with the bigger penetrations that we had with Target, with Home Depot, those entry points were actually the vendors outside of the business. And so someone else found that there was a vulnerability, a wonky little spreadsheet was being emailed back and forth. They attached a macro to the spreadsheet, get sent. I trust this person. Sure, I will allow this macro. Now you have an executable code on the system, and now it's starting to scan everything and do what they do.
So it's not just your stuff. It's how your stuff interacts with other stuff.
Correct. And that's the tricky part, because we now live in a world where data is meant to be shared with other businesses. That's what we do. That's how, you know, we've sacrificed a lot for the convenience of shareable data.
Mike, you go ahead with this interview. I'm going to go work on my Rolodex and get it back up and running.
What's a Rolodex?
Yeah, either that or I'm going to hire Proto Technology. But go ahead.
Marissa Maldonado is our guest with Proto Technology. And we're talking about cybersecurity. Now, you're a managed IT services company. We've had other companies similar to yours on shows like this. We have an IT company that actually has their own show here on Business Radio X. What makes your company, though, what makes Proto Technology unique and different from some of the others out there?
I think that, you know, one of the things we've really done is truly focused on the customer experience. IT, like you said, it's scary. It's a big deal. As an IT company, you literally hold the key to the business. You know all the juicy details within the HR personnel. You know everything before anything happens within the company. So a big part of what we do is really focus on the comfort of our clients. We don't tolerate talking down to the client. It's a big deal that we take the time to really talk on their level, so they really understand what is in their systems, why did this happen, how do we prevent it. So that's one of the biggest things for us, is really making sure we are giving them the tailored support, kind of, you know, boutique-like customer service, but with larger clients.
So IT, you've been talking about the broad reach of it, and I like the way you've been saying it in a way that, you know, Mike, the journalism major, can understand, and the history major from tech can understand it,
too. I heard something about a moat and alligators.
Right, which was cool.
Yeah, so that was a very nice analogy.
So my question is this. Do you guys have a specialty of the type that you've talked about, different industries and stuff like that? Do you guys look for the type of clients based on the size of the business? Do you specialize in certain industries? And obviously, you know, we can help anybody is something that a lot of business owners say, but where are you guys best suited? You know, what are your target markets?
So, you know, it kind of was born. There wasn't really a strategy in the beginning. It was just,
it was a brother and sister.
Right. It's like, look at that. We do medical. Wow, that's fun. But primarily we work in the medical and financial wealth investment industry, which is, there's a lot here in Atlanta. And primarily it's about the 20 employees up to 100. When you get a little bit past 150, 200, you start getting in-house IT. So then that's a whole other conversation where we become the trusted CIOs, provider, and we give them the tools that they need to run their IT internally.
I'll give you an unsolicited testimonial on that. If you kind of developed a specialty in medical and financial, I'm in financial, knowing the compliance and knowing the issues there, if you can handle those two things and that's your specialty, any small business owner with 20 to 100 employees that's operating, you're going to have a lot of expertise to bring to the table, I'm sure.
Right. It's a lot of fun. We there's never a dull day. Everyone has a lot of unique personalities. I always joke that we are about 70% therapists and 30% technical. So it's never a dull day for sure. Keeps us on our toes.
Well, for those that would like to get a little therapy from Proto Technology, how can they reach out? Give us the website and any contact information.
Sure. Our website, it's Proto Technology. So ProdaTechnology.com. And then if you want to reach out, you can always send me a personal email. It's M Maldonado. So that's M-M-A-L-D as in dog, O-N-A-D-O at ProdaTechnology.com.
Real quick, Proda Technology, where the name Proda come from? Pro Data?
So
she likes Prada purses and she decided to, no, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, okay, so it's...
She was a professional dancer, so
okay,
Proda.
Okay, bear with me, it's pretty nerdy. Okay, here we go. So we originally, the sole proprietorship was Pivotal Consulting, but clearly when we went in to find our LLC name, it was already taken nationally. So I sat around saying, what are we going to name? Where are we going to change the name to? So my brother, the founding partner, his alias when he used to romp around on the dark web when he was a very young kid, his name was Proda. And that is a jumble. What do you, when you jumble up words, like jumble up the letters of a word?
I think it's called a jumble.
Okay. The jumble was Ad Pro, which was a play on Ad Rock because they were big Beastie Boys fans growing up. So Proda is a play on Ad Rock's name from the Beastie Boys.
Wow. That's nerdy and cool and culturally relevant all at the same time.
Sometimes we ask that question, we get the best answers.
I told you, bear with me, it was going to be nerdy.
All right. Well, Marissa Maldonado, Proda Technology, thanks for joining us and sharing the information about your company.
Of course. My pleasure. Thanks.
Continued success as well.
Thank you.
Mike, so you enjoyed Marissa's story about the house and then the moat and the alligators. I enjoyed it too. Drawbridge and all that kind of stuff. What's the car parked in front of that house?
I hope it's a Subaru.
Absolutely, because love is what makes a Subaru. You can get big savings and enjoy a hassle-free experience. Subaru Gwinnett, where people sell cars even for mythical houses with moats and alligators to protect people in their IT. You can visit SubaruGwinnett.com and join the family today. Come in and see the difference. Maybe you're already a Subaruist, then follow Subaru Gwinnett's Facebook page for the latest Subaru offers, news, and community events.
All right, Stephen, our next guest here on Gwinnett Business Radio from Ankle Biters, the director, Sean Boyce. Sean, welcome back to the studio.
Good morning.
Tell us all about Ankle Biters, and just to have a little fun, too, the name Ankle Biters, where'd that come from?
I figured that was coming very, very quickly.
Came first. Wow. Out of the box.
Right. And I've been running my brain going, all right, I better have as good of a story. Right.
You work with kids. It was a natural.
Right. So there's the house with a moat.
Yes.
Right. And there's a Subaru out front.
Well played. Well,
playing Chris Christopherson music, blaring out of the... Oh, wait, that would...
Beastie Boys.
That's right.
Ankle Biters is not an uncommon name for small children playing tennis in the tennis industry. So where I first heard it was as a teaching pro at TPC Sugarloaf here in Duluth. And you have the little ankle biters, which are your 4 to 6 year olds. You have your hip huggers, which are a little bit older. And you just kind of find cute names for the kids of certain sizes. When I was, after I'd left the club and started what became Ankle Biters, we were focused on preschool tennis extracurricular programs. So we would go in for 3, 4, and 5 year olds and set up a little tennis program. Well, they actually came to me wanting this thing to happen. It wasn't my idea initially. So when they requested saying, hey, we would like you to put together this tennis program, we think you're capable, I said, sure, no problem. 10 minutes later exists, but it doesn't necessarily have a name. So I simply took what I'd always heard was what you call these 3, 4, and 5 year olds. And I simply called it Ankle Biters Tennis, not even necessarily even picturing a business side or an LLC name or DBAs, things like that, that eventually you have to start considering as a small business owner. It was more of just a side gig at that point to be able to say, oh, little ankle biter's playing tennis. It's cute. Always got a great response. Then eventually realized I'm going to have to stick with something
right
when ankle biters started becoming a thing, so to speak. So one school became two, two became eight, and the preschool ankle biters tennis scenario as an extracurricular was born out of that.
All right. Well, and it is a great name. So you've dropped the tennis part of it because you're expanding now. So tell us a little bit more about the program.
Ankle biters started out as ankle biters tennis. And what we realized not too long ago, I would say basically in April is when the concept decided to expand, was we started working directly with Gwinnett County Public Schools. So within having an entire county school system of a demographic of what we would want to sell to, they said, come on in and sell your ankle biters tennis programs. And what we realized was, well, not everybody's going to be able to purchase this kind of product. So like any true sales scenario, we realized, hey, how about we sell more than just tennis? So branching out into a couple of different options, going into Gwinnett County Public Schools, we went to all of the athletic directors, all of the community school directors, and said, hey, we can do whatever you want. We can stick this scenario into a machine, call it basketball, or right now lacrosse is popular. Or we can even find another vendor, something we don't necessarily offer, like cheerleading or chess. Like, there is a fantastic chess provider that already exists in Atlanta for extracurriculars. I don't want to compete with them. I could probably put together a chess program, but I might as well simply call them, bring them in, and we broker the deal from that point of view. So we can walk into any school system and say, as Stephen was saying earlier, we can do whatever you want and actually mean it legitimately.
So Sean, a lot of times on this program, we're talking to business owners and we'll say, hey, don't know. In fact, we just said it right before you to say, hey, I don't know if you know this, but you're not the only person doing what you do. I'm not sure I can ask that question of you. So you're working direct with Gwinnett County Public Schools. Are you the only company that is helping with extra, you know, with this whole concept of extracurricular other than individual companies like Kid Chess and groups like that?
Mike told me not to give one word answers.
Yes.
The answer is yes.
How about, and that's local. As far as you know, is that the only, are you the only concept that you know of nationwide?
So far, yes.
Okay.
There are others that will provide multiple scenarios, meaning they'll be sports specific. I know I-9 does some scenarios like that. There are a couple others that focus mostly on churches. Upward, I think, is another scenario where they'll bring in multiple products, but they've got a very strong niche of the type of product that they bring in or the type of market that they target.
And you talked about being able to broker a deal, but what's you do the tennis program. What other programs are you specifically involved in? Beyond, you know, what, give us some other examples of some other things that schools, you said lacrosse, and what are some of the other examples?
The sports are fairly easy. We can basically stick it in the machine and say, all right, ankle biters tennis does things this way. Here's how you find your instructors. Here's how you create your lesson plans. Here's the professionals that you find for those lesson plans. Here's your marketing. Here's your cost structure. Here's how everything works. Take out tennis, stick in lacrosse, stick it in the machine and spit it out. And you can walk in and basically make that happen. From certain scenarios like tennis, as an example, we can go from tennis and we hire many of our instructors for the 10 and under groups off the local high school tennis teams. So we can bring in a 17 or 18 year old elite level tennis player, teach him how to, you know, bounce a ball off his head and make 4 year olds laugh, and they're in. The kids don't notice the difference. We can do the same thing with lacrosse or with basketball or the sports side of things.
And these programs are all for elementary schools.
They're mostly elementary and preschool.
Okay.
Other concepts are coming out for the rest of Gwinnett County. Middle school wants different things. So again, depending on the market, middle schools are already going to have a basketball program run by the youth athletic associations. There are going to have maybe some tennis scenarios. By the time a kid is 11, 12, 13, he already likely has chosen the things that he's going to do. The main market we have are parents trying to get their children excited about what they're excited about. In Atlanta, that happens to be tennis. In Gwinnett, it happens to be lacrosse currently. So whatever the parent is excited about, parent wants their kid to be smarter, they stick them in chess, just to plug the kid chess tagline. But those are the scenarios that the parents say, hey, we want to expose our children to these types of good things and good scenarios. Products that we bring to the table specifically are the sports, which are the easy ones. We've got a fitness product, which is gymnastics, along with yoga, which seems to be a fairly popular scenario now. Again, depending on the demographic of the area is what we bring to the table. Other than that, if it's something that doesn't just easily fit into the machine, so to speak, we would go to a cheerleading provider or kid chess or some of the other science providers, the ones that will bring in a Lego. The Lego Go has a neat robotics scenario. So we can put together some of those things. The most interesting one we have right now is a stop animation movie production for preschoolers. So you can basically have a preschooler make his little clay or what is it? Play-Doh Olaf from the movie Frozen and walk him around and take pictures with the software, and the instructor helps them go through it, and they get to go home having made a movie and get to show it with their to their parents. But again, it's the instructors that make it work, because anything in this scenario, I don't want to say is easy to create, but within the system we have, it works out very perfectly.
So at its simplest form, and we're talking with Sean Boyce with Ankle Biters, at the high school level, a lot of these extracurricular activities are available to the students, but they're not available to the elementary, the preschoolers. So you're bringing all those things that are typically the kids don't get to experience till high school. You're bringing them at them to an earlier age.
Correct. And the best part about it is it's affordable, because if you think of a tennis lesson or a golf lesson, and you're looking at paying a dollar a minute for certain scenarios, we take the group setting and we make tennis affordable at those younger ages.
And the parents pay for or are funding this.
Yes.
And the other thing I was going to say is you talked about in your scenarios and you use tennis in certain community, you're using the high school player. So now you're getting the high school player involved in giving back, involved in teaching, involved in mentoring. And it stays within the community as well, which I know is a one-word answer. Yes. So
absolutely.
Absolutely.
How do parents know if these programs are available at their children's schools?
The schools will set things out on their websites. Okay. We will send out emails. We will promote with basic marketing. So we'll send home brochures, something I can talk to the other Mike about at some point. Improving the marketing scenarios within the school system is an interesting point of view, because as we were talking earlier about small business and me thinking about IT and what we end up doing as a business for those scenarios, small businesses end up just a couple of people with giant hats on. We have to do everything ourselves, right? So I am the marketing department at this point. I don't have a business degree from any school. I certainly don't have a marketing degree. My philosophy degree isn't really useful when it comes to that scenario. It's great with getting along with people, but otherwise it doesn't help me figure out how to market to schools. Those are scenarios where I end up going to other professionals that really know what they're doing.
And Mike asked the question, you know, where do parents go to look for it? If you're direct with Gwinnett County Public Schools, my question was going to be, is there also, I would imagine Gwinnett County Public Schools has done something to kind of let schools know that this is available, but I would imagine part of your marketing is also letting so many of the schools who don't realize they have access to this great machine.
Currently, we're actually significantly underbranded.
Right.
So when I mentioned this concept was born this past April, there is no website for the overall scenario. There is no official partnership with anybody, but I do have inroads in that anybody in Gwinnett County is going to talk to me.
Right.
Because I can go in as a consultant and essentially say, what do you want? What do your students want? What do your families want? I can help you. If I can't create it myself, I can find it for you.
So teachers, parents, administrators who are listening and go, you know, we really could improve our extracurricular program. If they're in Gwinnett County, they have access to it. If they're not in Gwinnett County, they need to get access to it. and they need to contact Ankle Biters. There you go. My second unsolicited testimonial of the day.
And I was wanted to follow that up and thinking, if you're a parent and you're listening and it's like, I would love to have this in my school. I don't see it on the website. I don't see it available. What would you tell them to do to get it eventually in their school? What's the avenue they need to go down?
The interesting scenario now where, considering we're so unbranded and so new, is there isn't just a go to our website and fill out a form and say, hey, please come to, you know, Shiloh Elementary School or whatever that location is. What we've ended up now receiving is we'll have a parent on the PTA email someone, be it a principal, assistant principal, somebody on staff, somebody in the administration, copy us in, you know, copy me in my email and say, hey, we want to introduce you to Sean because we would love to see either tennis or cheerleading or whatever happens. We'd love to see more programs at this level, and they can make an easy introduction that way rather than us outsourcing some sort of sales scenario. There's a lot of S's there. Some sort of sales scenario. I got stuck.
Say that three times fast.
Right? Where we're cold calling on schools, especially if it's outside of Gwinnett County, where we don't have the natural expectation that Ankle Biters is gonna be a trusted vendor.
All right. So what's next? Anything else you want to share before we give all the you know, I'm sure you're gonna want to pass along contact information and everything, but anything else that you want to touch upon?
We've got an exciting thing coming up. The expected launch is January 1. It is specific to Gwinnett County Public Schools. But as Stephen was mentioning earlier, he says, so Sean, are you the only one actually doing this? It does put a little bit of apprehension in my mind where I consider, if I'm the only one, how long am I the only one? And how much am I going to share with the rest of Gwinnett County that this is the type of thing that Gwinnett County wants? And we've got something coming out. I am not comfortable really bringing up specifically what we're doing, but it's countywide and extremely excited about it because I think it's something that's going to help not only the schools, not only the students, but the families there and here in Gwinnett County long term.
Boy, philosophically speaking, I think he's talking about a paradigm shift.
Oh, I can be vague.
He nailed it. He nailed it.
Vague and yet sound incredibly deep.
Vague
and
confident. That's the catch.
All right. So we'll be vague. If you want to find out more about Ankle Biters, go to the web.
Pull it up on your Rolodex.
That's perfect.
Yes. Do you want to share any contact information? You will obviously at least give the website that you do have out there.
AnkleBitersTennis.com is what is currently functional. And at some point, what we're trying not to do is have AnkleBiterslacrosse.com and AnkleBiters. There's no reason to have multiple websites. So as we rebrand over the next year, it will be AnkleBiters Extracurriculars or whatever it becomes. I might need a marketing expert to help me figure something like that out. But yeah, phone number is the easiest way. 678-221-4191 comes directly to us and we can help you do whatever you want to do within schools, basic locations like that. Email's easy to find on AnkleBitersTennis.com as well.
Great. That was Sean Boyce with Ankle Biters, or maybe it wasn't. Sean, thank you for joining us very much.
Thank you.
Fantastic. Mike, I'm a little out of practice, so forgive me if I mess this up. And don't, you know, Maria, if you're listening, I apologize.
When were you ever in practice?
Oh, ba-dum-bump.
Oh, wait.
Oh, that was only a 5-second delay. Well done.
I'm getting better.
And so am I. And so is Ferratech, because Ferratech has been in business for 25 years by manufacturing top-of-the-line toner supplies and offer outstanding customer service. Ferratech offers a 100% guarantee on all Ferratech products, so you know that they stand behind the quality. For more information, you can visit Ferratech.com. That's Ferratech.com.
All right, our next guest here on Gwinnett Business Radio from New Heights Marketing, the president, Michael Gifford. Mike, welcome back to our program. We've had you before. It's good to
see
you.
Thank you, Mike. Glad to be here.
I've never had a show, though, where a guy across the table is basically begging for your services, so I'm assuming there's a conversation to be had here. But tell us about New Heights Marketing and how you help companies like Sean's.
Well, I started New Heights Marketing way back in the last century. It's been about 30 years ago, I think. Just from a variety of experiences that I've had over the years and just applied those things, there are three different things that I do. I'm a marketing consultant, which means that I'll sit down with a company and I'll go over their marketing program with them, everything from their website to their materials to whatever branding they're trying to get done. I'll help them with that. I'm also a website designer. I've been doing that for 20 years. Right after Al Gore created it, I created the first one. And so I appreciate him putting me into business. Then also, I'm a copywriter, which does not mean that I copy other people's writing. Copywriting is I write the copy, and I've done a variety of things in that over the years as well. So I'll write the materials that go onto the website. I'll write the brochures. I'll write the scripts and things that people use in their commercials.
All right. So, Michael, you write the copy. Barry Manilow writes the songs. And this is Gwinnett Business Radio. I have no idea. I'm a little out of practice too, Michael. Michael, Stephen, and Michael.
How about I ask a question and you take a minute over there? Mike, you've been doing this for a little while.
I've been doing this for 3.5. Oh, you're talking about Mike.
Yeah. Mike.
Okay, sorry.
Mike Gifford, you've been doing this for a while. And you've seen a lot of small businesses come and go. What are some of the most common mistakes that small business owners, newer small business owners, been in business less than 5 years? What are the biggest mistakes that they're making when it comes to their marketing?
Oh, I thought you were going to talk about in general.
You can do in general too. You've got expertise to talk about that as well.
They don't have enough money. That is the number one killer of a business. Most people sit down and they figure, okay, I'm going to need $50,000 to start this business. They actually need three times that amount. So if you're going to start a business, anticipate, sit down with all your figures, put it all together, and then triple it, and you'll be close.
And it's because people are always a little too positive about what they think is going to happen in terms of revenue,
well,
in terms
that,
of response?
That too, and kind of dovetailing into what you're asking about the marketing aspect, a lot of companies don't have any kind of marketing plan at all. And that's why they're so susceptible to the guy coming in off the street and saying, hey, I can put your menu, Mr. Restaurant Owner, I can put your menu up at the local hotel for $800 and people are going to come in droves to your store. And then all of a sudden, there's no menu on the wall and there's only money out of pocket. So, you know, we're getting bombarded with phone calls. We're getting bombarded with emails. We're getting bombarded with people coming to the door if we're a brick and mortar. And they've all got the latest and greatest marketing tool. And it's because they don't have a plan. If you got a plan, if you know where you're going with it, then you can say, look, that's not in my budget. That's not in my plan right now. So that's a big aspect of the trouble that people have.
We asked Marissa earlier, you know, is there a kind of a sweet spot, companies or industries that you really just seem to have a lot of work with? Is there certain companies with size or vertical markets where you may be more of an expert?
Not necessarily. I've worked with so many different ones, Mike, and especially when it comes to the writing. When people come to me for the write, and again, one of my company slogans is, if you would rather beat your head against the wall than write something, then come to me. It's clever, isn't it?
Say that again.
Okay. See if I can remember.
It doesn't even rhyme, but yet it's so true.
Said, if you'd rather beat your head against the wall than write something, call me. I'll write it for you. Or I'll beat your head against the wall. I don't know, whatever you want to do.
I love it.
But a lot of times people don't like to write. So what I do is I work with all kinds of companies. I just finished doing a magazine article and a press release for a company. I just finished doing an ebook for another company. So it varies in two totally different industries.
I am amazed when I look at either a press release, a brochure, a website, and not only, you know, the misspellings and things, but just not worded correctly. And I think people maybe don't pay as much attention to that, don't realize how important that is to have it kind of flow and say exactly and not to have those little mistakes.
Well, they've been banging their head against the wall, so, you know, it gets a little fuzzy on what the work that they're
and
doing.
I would think being in that industry, it must drive you crazy, Mike.
Facebook is not my friend.
Yeah. And we don't even want to talk about Twitter.
No.
So I think also, again, someone with your experience and someone who does both consultation and then design of websites and then also writing, I think some small business owners would listen and go, well, I can't afford that guy. Well, clearly he's got so much expertise and that there's no way I could work with him. What are some of the first steps?
Have you been talking to some of his clients?
No. Oh, okay. I'm making assumptions, which, you know what that what happens when I do that. And I'm going to let him break those apart and show us how smart
he is. Find out that it's not true.
So if a typical small business owner who maybe thinks they can't afford to work with somebody who's a consultant and does website design, where should they start? What are some of the first steps they can take with you? Is it writing that one piece? Is it getting that one article and one press release? Is it a single project? And what are some of those projects that you see have worked with a lot of small business owners?
Well, and again, there's so many variables here. It's kind of hard. I mean, I'm the poster child for ADD. And so if it's something that can be done, I want to put my hands on it and do it. So we can talk about marketing consulting or website or writing, or we can combine them all. A lot of times just with the website, because everybody wants a website nowadays. Every business wants a website. But that's all they know. I got to have a website. But what's your purpose in the website? What's your focus on? I was working on one last night or yesterday afternoon with a new business. Basically, what I drew out for her was a funnel. And the funnel, at the bottom of the funnel is her desired goal. What do you really want here? And what she really wants, obviously, is people to contact her. Okay. So now she wants people to contact her through the internet, through the website. So now how are we going to get to the website? What are we going to do on that website to get people to contact you? And again, when it comes to website design, it's kind of ironic that I write so much, but people don't read. Maybe that's a reflection on me. But generally speaking, people don't. When they go to the website, you've got about 2.7 seconds to grab somebody's attention on the website. And so you want your first impression to be an image that gets through people's mind. I did a marketing analysis for an IT company, Marissa, and I compared them to their competitors. And the competitor that really stood out was the one that had a picture of people at the top, their phone number, and a solution. I mean, boom, just like that. You knew why they were there and you could call them just that quickly, because I'm guessing that in the IT world, people don't generally take the time to email you. They got an emergency. They're going to call you. That may be the way sometimes people get hold of you. So that's an important thing. And just, again, back to your point in general, if you're going to make a website, know why you're doing it. Know what you want to accomplish. And make sure your writing is clean, because even though, don't get me started on writing quality nowadays, but still people like to see good writing.
So because you do so many different types of things and you've worked with so many different types of businesses, the typical small business owner, I would imagine that it probably just needs to start with a conversation. It kind of starts with that, the consultation part of, right. You know, and so let's talk, right? That's where most small business owners need to start with you.
Right. And I bring a dimension to this that is somewhat unique anyway. My master's degree is in counseling. So the philosopher and the counselor will sit down later and discuss things and work everything out.
The meeting will take 4 hours, but
okay. If you two can't come to a solution or agreement,
we're in trouble.
We're in trouble.
But so anyway, with that in mind, that's what I do. And that's a whole nother. I've actually got a training session where I teach people how to listen, because that's a lost art. And that's a whole nother program. So I'll come back. If
Mike's got a series of programs that we need to do. I love this.
Well, I'm sorry. What'd you say?
That's to be expected.
Yes.
Go ahead.
No, I'm finished. No, you heard everything I could say.
He's got nothing else. The internet is done. All right.
For a fact.
Mike, for those that would like to find out more about your company, look into your services, give us your website address and any other contact information, please.
Sure, I will do that. If I may add one thing before that, I'm a Georgia Bulldog fan, and I actually wrote a cheer for the Bulldogs back in the middle 80s. They had a contest at one of the local FM stations, the oldie station, and whoever wrote the cheer that was selected by the cheerleaders at that time got to come onto the field and be with the cheerleaders and be on the field for the whole game. So I was there back when Bo Jackson was playing for the Auburn Tigers, and they were playing the home game. So I got to be there because I won throughout all Atlanta. I won the cheer for the Georgia Bulldogs. So that was fun.
You got to tell us.
Come on. You got to give the cheer, right?
All right. Let's see. You're an Auburn fan. I saw the hands go up. I thought, you know, if you were having a connection.
He's referring to our producer, Trey.
Okay. There you go. Let's see. Come on, Auburn. We want you. We're going to have some Tiger stew. Georgia Bulldogs can't be beat. So come on, boys. Let the big dog eat.
If I had the Georgia Bulldog fight song right now, I would play it.
I'm surrounded, but that's okay.
Yeah,
that's okay.
You are. You're basically outnumbered.
I know my role and I shut my mouth.
Thank you for passing along the story. Okay,
sure, now the contact welcome. Now the contact information. My website is newheightsinc.com. That's newheightsinc.com. You can Google it. New Heights Marketing will come up first, thankfully. And my phone number is 770-606-9195.
You know I want to do this so bad, Stephen. Can we just end the show with that going in the background?
I just have to say that as the Georgia grad, you said, I wish I had the fight song.
And there it was.
So you didn't realize you had the fight song. So don't, I'm just going to leave it at that.
Don't turn this. Turn it on me now.
Okay.
I want to thank our guest, Michael Gifford from New Heights Marketing. I can't do that in the background. That's just weird. Marissa Maldonado from Proto Technology and Sean Boyce from Ankle Biters. A fun show, a unique show. And we wish all of you the best of luck. Quick reminder, you can enjoy this show or any of our Gwinnett Business Radio shows anytime, 24/7, by going to GwinnettBusinessRadioX.com. We ask you to go ahead and follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook. We also have our YouTube channel now. It's Business Radio X Gwinnett. We'll have this show and a lot of our other shows posted. So we're here, every Thursday morning at 10 a.m. for our live show. Stephen, any parting words?
I missed you, Mike. And glad I'm glad to be that back. You're back.
Glad to be back.
And only because now I get to hang out with Trey and Z.
Yes. And for Trey and for Z and for all our guests, I'm Mike Salmon, and we will see you next time right here on Gwinnett Business Radio.